Tan not mention that it's a fast day today, that it's Asara B'Teves. Chazal tell us that if Asara B'Teves fell on Shabbos, then we wouldn't have the possibility of pushing it off. Very interesting way of dealing. Very interesting that it's so severe. All the other fasts, except for Yom Kippur, even Tisha B'Av, falls on Shabbos, we push it off. Asara B'Teves is referred to as something that we don't push off. In my sense, it never happens in our calendar. It happened, of course, on a Friday. It happened last year. And today's on a Tuesday, but doesn't fall on the Shabbos. But it's interesting. And generally, it's looked at the beginning of the downfall, because that was when the siege was laid in Yerushalayim, which then led to the Churban. But all right, we're going to continue with Shabbos, and we're going to start a new section, and that is, how does Amira the Akum come into the question of Refuah? Okay. So we'll see the different types of medical situations, how we deal with them. A lot of it we've mentioned Derech Agav. When we spoke about a Chole Shemba Sakona, we said to try to get a, and when we spoke about this, and we spoke about that, we said this is when you can use a goy. But now we're more formulating in from the viewpoint of asking a goy to do Malachas or etc. for you. So the first thing we're going to say is that when dealing with Sakonas Nefoshes, Chazal tell us, Hazar is Niskar, whoever is hurries and does it with zest and without delay, he's the one who gets Kar. Because when it comes to Sakonas Nefoshes, we don't delay. And therefore we say, you don't go looking for a goy to do the work for you in a situation of Sakonas Nefoshes. There's two reasons given. First of all, is because we believe that he didn't have a better sense of the importance of sustaining life, it's much stronger in halacha, the importance of sustaining life, and therefore it probably will be that if you tell a yid to take care of a person who's in the matzah sakana, he will be more conscientious of getting it done timely than if it was left up to a goy. The second reason given is that if we tell you that when you can, you should get a goy, people will misunderstand and think that you always have to get a goy. And then even in situations where it might cause a delay by getting a goy, or might cause the treatment to be of not the highest standard, but they'll say, well, last time we saw someone was deathly ill, they went and they insisted on getting a goy, so what do we do now? We need to also call a goy, and therefore can compromise a person's treatment, and that we don't want, because when it comes to consulfatus, we make sure we do not do anything which will cause a compromise in the treatment that they get, and therefore we're makbe that even if there is a goy available, even if you can call a goy and it will not cause a delay or anything like that, nevertheless we say that a yid should do the malachas and not rely on a goy to have it done, so that we don't misunderstand for the future. We can, if necessary, call a goy, not if necessary, if there's a goy is available and he's right here and he can do it and we know it's not going to cause any problem, so no one sees that you're going out of your way. The goy is there. So then we would allow the goy to do it if we know that the treatment will be of the same standard. Or, for example, sometimes it would help, for the example it gives is, if you need to pick up medication and you need to take a motor vehicle in order to get to the pharmacy, it's not within walking distance, or even if it wasn't walking distance, it would take too long and it would cause a unnecessary delay which could be detrimental to the patient. So you need to take a motor vehicle. So if there's no goy around, you take your car and you go, because that's what you need to do in a case of the Sakonas Nefoshes. But if there's a goy around, so what it would be is you let the goy drive, but you go with him. That way you know that he's doing it quickly, he's getting to his destination, and you'll be able to help him, etc., that it will move along fast. That is all in the realm of Sakonas Nefoshes, where time makes a difference. Where time is not of essence, in other words, a person is in a Sakonas Nefoshes situation. If left untreated, it can be fatal. But the treatment doesn't have to be done for a second. It can be done in 10 minutes, it can be done in 2 hours, it can be done in 5 hours. As long as it's done, then we try get a goy to do it. However, I said try, it's not that it has to be a goy. Because since we're dealing with the class of Farshas, it's mutter for you to do as well. And therefore, if we can, if there's available, if there's a goy nearby, we will go get a goy for to go do this for us. But if not, then a yid does it, even if the required treatment requires being over on an issur d'oraisa, the Torah halacha. Nevertheless, we will say that a yid should do it. So an example would be on a nice cold day. People will tell me what's nice and how can you say nice and cold in the same sentence? So obviously, in a cold day, that's not so nice. That's really cold, and you've got a sick person, and he needs heating. But if the heating gets turned on now or gets turned on in 10 minutes, it's not really going to make much of a difference. Obviously, we're not talking about someone who's already in shock and suffering for hypothermia. Someone who's cold and suffering in the dark, and you know that this is not going to help the situation, the heat needs to be turned on. And it's not like we can wait from Wednesday to Shabbos because it's Shabbos morning and there's still many hours to go. But the difference between 5 minutes or 10 minutes is not going to make the end. It's not going to change the situation. So then the right thing to do would be to go get a goy to turn the heat on, if there's no goy available. So then we would say that such a situation where you've got a choyle, sheyesh b'sakana, it's a life-threatening situation and he needs the heat for recovery, so then a yid would be allowed to turn on the heat as well. There's two things to take into account. Number one is we should try to find out whether we can cover the patient with extra blankets or extra clothing or layers like that and see if that helps. If that does not suffice, that it's not good enough, it does not bring enough warmth, or the person needs to be treated and therefore needs to be uncovered in order to be given the treatment, therefore it doesn't help to have lots of blankets because right now he has to be uncovered. For whatever the situation, if that is not a practical solution, then the yid can turn on the heat. And second of all, if possible, the yid should do it with a shinoi. If it's a flick of a switch, then he should try to do it with his elbow or something like that. So it wouldn't be in the regular way. It already drops it to a shinoi. It's already like a derech and makes it easier and no longer a daraisa if it's done aladeh a shinoi. The same thing we see when you have a sick person who needs to sleep. And Chazal tell us that sleep is one of the best forms of recovery. It's a very important part of recovery. And we have to take it seriously that a person needs to get enough rest and sleep when they are ill. They'll tell you that when a person's healthy, also to stay healthy, you need to get enough rest and sleep. But this is more than the regular 7 to 8 hours that you're getting. You need to sleep during the day in order to recover, or whenever the case may be. So now you've got a situation where a person needs to sleep, and there's a light in the room that's disturbing him, and he can't fall asleep because the light is bothering. So the simplest would be to call a goy. Now, because it is not a issue that needs to be done immediately, ASAP, so we allow to call a goy in such a case. In fact, it's better to call a goy in such a case if there's no goy available, whatever the situation is, or no goy available within the time frame that we need. So then we allow a yid to do it. But again, here we're going to ask some questions before we allow the yid to do it. If we're getting a goy to do it, so the goy turns the light off, end of story. But if a yid comes to do it, we first have to make sure that there's no other way out. What would be an example of that is, first of all, if you have a dark room and a light room, so instead of turning the light off in the room where there's light, take the patient out and put him into a dark room. Sometimes there is no dark room available, sometimes the patient cannot be moved, but that's something to take into account. Is there a possibility of moving the patient? Or, this is more practical in the times of Chazal than it is today, maybe you can take the light out. I mean, in times of Chazal, you had a candle, so a candle wasn't a fixture of the house like electric lighting. So you took the candle out of the room, and then you had darkness. You covered the candle. You could bring a pot and put it over the candle so you don't smother it. Otherwise, you just extinguish it. And you haven't done anything else. Yeah, you've done extinguishing. But so to over here also, it's possible if you have that type of lamp that you could bring a cover and cover it. It would be better than turning it off. So the first thing you need to do is you get a goy. If there's no goy available, then you try and look for another etzer. The other etzer would be either to remove the patient from the room or to remove the light from the room. Remove the light from the room, either physically, it's mukta, but it's better to move mukta than to extinguish, or to actually cover it. If those possibilities are not available, they don't suffice, or they're not available, it's not shaykh to do it, so then, yes, for the sake of a choyle masukat, if the choyle who is in a situation that his health is determined by the doctors as being sakonas nefashis, so then you're allowed to turn off the light in order to let him sleep. And again, when possible, to try to do it on the day Shinui. Now, here's a slightly different one. Things when you're dealing with a Chole Sheyesh B'Sakana, again, this is someone who we are allowed to be Mechalo Shabbos for in order to treat him, make sure that he gets better and gets out of his Matzah Sakana. If you've got something that is imperative that needs to be done for this patient, but it can wait for Motzah Shabbos. For example, it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and Motzah Shabbos is another hour and a half, and the doctor said it really makes no difference if you do it now, you do it later. So then that's one type of situation, or something where the choler needs some sort of treatment, but if you withhold the treatment, it won't cause a deterioration in his situation, and therefore you can push it off. Obviously, you don't want to drop the whole treatment because you want him to get better and you want the treatment to work. But we said that the lack of the treatment won't cause deterioration, so therefore it doesn't become imperative to be done right now. Or the choler himself is asking for something. He's uncomfortable or he's being disturbed and he's asking for the uncomfortability to be removed or something like that. And there's a malacha involved in order to make him more comfortable. So when you're dealing with the choler mesukan, so we're going to say about these type of things that a yishuv hadas, for a person to have presence of mind, or what's not really presence of mind, means to be calm and relaxed and without anxiety, is an important factor to his recovery. And therefore, we need to take this into account, how we deal with it. So these type of cases where it is not necessary to do it right away, either because it can be pushed off till later, or because it's not detrimental, or because it's only for his emotional stability and to remove anxiety. So we're going to say that a yid cannot do the necessary item. For example, if it is a daraisa, he can't do the daraisa for this patient. It has to wait for Motzei Shabbos, but it is permissible to call a goy to do it. And even though the goy could do the Motzei Shabbos, if he wants to do it now, we don't have to stop him. If there's no goy available, so then we'll allow a Jew to do it if what is in question is a derabbanan and not a daraisa. So we won't allow a daraisa to be done for a type of treatment that can be pushed off, but a derabbanan we will allow because of the fact that we're dealing with a patient who is a Chole Sheyesh B'Sakana. So an example would be if a person has been told that he needs surgery. Now, we're not talking about Rahman al-Islam, someone has come in from an accident and the surgery is going to save his life and every minute they delay it is going to make a difference. But it's something that can wait a couple of hours. It doesn't really it makes a difference. The poor patient is in pain and is not happy. But from a medical point of view, it's not going to be detrimental to the success of the surgery or to the ability of the patient to survive, etc. So if the surgery can be pushed off to Motzei Shabbos, so then if there's a Jewish doctor, we'll say such surgery cannot be done on Shabbos. Or if they want to take x-rays, where the x-rays are not needed immediately for immediate use. Or if a limb is broken and they want to put a cast on. Obviously there might be situations where the cast needs to be applied immediately, but if it would be the type that it can be just bandaged with a regular bandage for the next couple of hours and then a Motzei Shabbos change to a proper cast, all these cases would be also for a yid to do. But if the attendant in the hospital happens to be a goy, so then he can do these things and we don't have to stop him. So too, if a patient needs a certain procedure and you need what they call in this country, a hafnaya, a referral. And without that, you can't do the procedure. Now, even though the procedure is not going to be done on Shabbos, it's going to be done after Shabbos, but the doctor's available now and he's not going to be available on Motzei Shabbos. So you can do an amira la'akum, because that's only a drabonon, to get this referral so that the procedure can follow on Motzei Shabbos. Obviously, if the doctor's going to be available in the evening and you can ask for him then and it won't cause any delays, so that will be the better option. But in a case where it's not so easy to get hold of the doctor on Motzei Shabbos or to find him or to get a referral, and now he's here and available, so then one can even, for a Chole Sheyesh B'Sakana, you can even ask the doctor to write out the referral now on Shabbos. So too, when it comes to supplying our patient with food, if the food needs to be cooked, then we can get a goy to cook it. There would be a side issue of bishulakum, But for the Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana, we allow him to eat it. It just means that the leftovers can't be eaten by a healthy Jew. Stamazoi, if a Goy cooks for a Chole on Shabbos, that food may not be eaten by a healthy person, because even the leftovers that the Chole didn't eat, or the Chole didn't feel like it, or he made too much, whatever it is, because we're worried about Shemayarbe. If you allow a healthy person to partake of the food that the Goy cooked for a sick person, then you might come to tell the Goy to initially cook more than necessary in order to have you in mind, so that you can have a nice, hot, fresh, hot meal. Therefore, because of Shemayarbe, we don't allow a healthy person to partake of food that was prepared for a chole on Shabbos. Moitzeh Shabbos in that food, if it is kosher, and that depends on whether it's a problem of bishulakim or not. If the guy cooked it from scratch, it's that type of food that will be, they have a problem of bishulakim, then yes, it would be a problem of bishulakim and remain not kosher for the healthy person to eat. If you have cooked food already, but the patient requires fresh food, for whatever reason the doctor prescribes that it should be freshly cooked food, so even though he can eat the pre-prepared food, but it's better for his situation, better for his recovery to have, fresh food, then even though it's just a question of better, you do have something else, but it's better, nevertheless, that is enough of a reason that we can ask a goy to cook it on Shabbos. Now, the example of what we can get a goy to do is if a person is in his sick bed and he feels that he needs to have his relatives around and he wants someone to go call them, that they should be come to his bedside. That is an important part of a person's calmness to help with recovery. And even if he is he's terminally ill, there's no chance of recovery. And he knows that he's at reaching the end of the line, but he wants his family around him. That is also chaye sho'ah. The calmness of the patient for chaye sho'ah is also something important to us. And therefore, an amiru la'akum may be mutter to be done in such circumstances in order to calm the patient down. But again, amiru la'akum can be done, but not a malacha. So what's the nafkamina? How does it pan out? Is that if the patient asks for his relatives to be called to his bedside, so you can tell the goy to go and call them, and if the goy, where that means making a phone call, but if the goy makes a phone call but is calling their home and they're not going to answer the phone on Shabbos, so then that's not very useful. If he calls another goy who goes and tells them, I hear, or the goy himself can get in the car and drive down to where the relatives live and tell them that they should come. So we're asking the goy to do a doraisa, we're asking the goy to drive. That is permissible for the sake of the patient that we are dealing with. But the family members themselves may not be over in doraisa in order to come join the, to be at the bedside of the patient. And therefore, if it's required for them to get to the hospital, would mean that they have to take a vehicle to get there, whether it's public transport or not, or their own car. That would not be permissible. But they can start walking, and they can even walk outside the tchum. If it's more than Yud Bey's meal, then there's a discussion of the possibility they should do that or not. What is the point of Yud Bey's meal? Yes, in Halacha it says tchum Shabbos is the Rabbanon. The fact that you can't walk more than 2,000 amos outside of your city on a Shabbos is a the Rabbanon. But to walk outside your city more than Yud Bey's meal, which is approximately 12 kilometers, that is already a machloikah, so that could be an issa d'oraisa. And since that could be an issa d'oraisa, so we say that if relatives need to get to the bedside of a patient, then we can do the rabbanas and not d'oraisa, so they can walk beyond the 2,000 amas, is about 1 kilometer limit, but they cannot walk past the 12 kilometer limit. So practically speaking, to go from Beit Shemesh to Yerushalayim, even though the walk itself will probably take 8 to 10 hours, maybe longer, not sure, probably 10 to 12 hours. But Lu Yutsu, someone was told about it on a Friday night, and he started walking now, so he started walking immediately, he'd get there before Shabbos was out. So he says, oh, there's a point to go, because if I wait for Moitzeh Shabbos, it's even later. And the separate problem is that from Beit Shemesh to Yerushalayim is more than 12 kilometers, and that would be a problem of Tchumin. So that is how it applies to a Chole Sheyesh Bo Sakana, when you're dealing with a person whose situation is life-threatening. And therefore, basically, you can ask a goy to do anything, even if it's already daraisa. And if the goy is not available, then depends how and where the yid can do it, whether there's another way to do it, or whether shinu, or how imperative it is. But look, after the goy, we can basically ask him almost anything to do for the sake of echadishem besakana. You put chadishayesh besakana. Chadishayem besakana is a lower level. Obviously, as the words mean, there's no sakana, but he is very ill. Someone who's very ill, but the medical profession has determined that there is no immediate threat to his life, therefore he's not considered as someone that is sakana sfashis, but he is very ill. Very ill we usually describe as someone who is not on the mishkov, is unable to stay out of bed, he needs to get into bed, or is chole kol gufoy, his whole body is aching. It's not just a localized pain like a headache or a toothache or a stomach ache. And that will be considered as a chole sheyesh boi, she'ein boi sakana. Before we go on, someone asked a question: if there are houses and homes and buildings that are built up on the way, is that a problem of tchum? So, in a nutshell, a city as an entity ends when the spaces between the houses is greater than what we call shivim v'shirayim, about 70 amas. So if you have a city that has very clearly delineated borders, it's like a walled city, like the old city of Yerushalayim. So you've got a wall, so you count from the end of the wall. But most cities don't have that. So what is considered part of the city and what's not part of the city? It's nothing to do with who pays arnona to the area and who not, whether you belong to the city municipality or to the regional council, but rather there is a definition in the halacha how to determine, and that is when the houses are within 70 amas of each other, then they're all considered as part of the flow of a single city. Once you get a break of 70 amas, then it already can be considered as a second city, and then you count from the last house. So you get a 70 amma buffer zone, so to speak, and then you count your 2,000 amas. So if there are houses along the way, it all depends how close the houses are. Therefore, generally speaking, that no, houses on the way will not break the tchum, because usually if it's a house, it's every 500 meters, every kilometer, every 2 kilometers, every house. That's not good enough. In fact, here in Beit Shemesh, there was when the neighborhoods were still relatively new and slightly smaller. So halachically speaking, I think the Rabbonim Paskin that Ramah Aleph and Ramah Beis were considered two separate cities because the space between them was greater than 70 amas, and there was nothing that would halachically link the two, and therefore, if a person needed to walk to Ramah Beis on Shabbos, you had a problem of tchum. I didn't know that the last house in Kishon was the end of the city called Ramah Aleph, the halachic city called Ramah Aleph, and then you had from there 1 kilometer to go and you couldn't go any further. So what changed the situation was when the city got bigger and more populous, and not that the gap actually did get smaller, but it didn't get smaller than 70 amas. What changed is that they build an eruv around the city. When you build an eruv around the city, it's as if you built a wall around the city into one larger area, and therefore now Ramah Aleph and Ramah Beis, because they share a eruv, so they are considered as one and the same city. A similar shaila comes up, Lagabe Purim, when you have a city like Yerushalayim, where Purim is kept on the 15th of Adar and not on the 14th. So then you have the question of which shchunot, which neighborhoods in Yerushalayim keep the 14th and which keep the 15th. So we have a expression Allah called Samuch Venire. It can be seen and it's close, how nire. And one of the discussions there is if you have continuous housing from the core city all the way out, could be that that's just the way the city extends. And when, if you get a break, you get a break between neighborhoods, you get a valley in between the two or something like that, and you have that all over in Yerushalayim, what's the din? So it depends on how close they are, whatever. One of the determining factors there would be an eruv. I remember when the Shkuna of Ramat Shlomo was built, there was a long, big discussion that Purim there should be on the 14th and not on the 15th, but when they included it in the eruv of the city, then the Rabbanim changed it. Oversimplification, you'll still find people who will read the Megillah on both days in outlying neighborhoods. Some people have the meaning that anything past the old Shaare Tzedek which is on Rehov Yafo. We're not talking about the Shari Tzedek that we know, but the old Shari Tzedek that closer to the old city than the Tachon HaKazit. Anything beyond that is considered as outside of Yerushalayim, and you read on the 14th. But there's a big machlokes about it. Just mentioning that they have a concept there also that the Eruv joins the city as one. So again, if you have houses scattered along the route, then that will not help for Tchum, as long as if the houses are more than 70 amas, which is very small, it's about 35 meters from each other. Where that does come more as a significant discussion is in the halacha of Tfilis Haderech, because Tfilis Haderech is when a person goes on a journey, and the definition of a journey is a journey that is 4 mil. If you go on a journey that's less than 4 mil, so then that's not considered a journey, and therefore you don't need to say Tfilis Haderech. But if you go on a journey that's more than 4 mil, then you are required to say Tfilis Haderech. So the discussion there comes in that if a journey is determined by the length of the journey is determined by 4 mil from one city to another. You have one city and then you have another city, and the space between them is less than 4 mil, so then you don't say Tfilis Haderech. So if I go on a journey, I leave my town, and then I travel, and within 4 mil, I come across another home. So I haven't now been outside of built-up area for a 4 mil period, so maybe I don't need to say Tfilis Haderech. So I continue and I drive further, and again, I travel 4 mil, and again, I don't see another house. And again, I see another house. And then again, within 4 mil, and it's very possible that you can go on a lengthy journey, and you'll never be 4 mil without any home or building or residential area. And therefore, there are people who hold that, for example, traveling from Shulayim to Bnei Brak or Shulayim to Tel Aviv, you do not need to say Tfilis Haderech because you'll never go for a 4 mil stretch without any inhabitation. It's a Shir Bifnei Atzmo, but that just came up Derech Agav, where this idea of having homes on your journey can make a difference to the halacha. But Legabi Tchum, no, Legabi Tchum, it's got to be that the homes have to be within 70 amas of each other in order to be considered part of the original city, so that your Tchum count hasn't started. Okay, back to Chole Shem V'Sakana, a few minutes. So we said that for Chole She Yesh V'Sakana, where the patient is in a situation where there is a threat to his life, so therefore we can ask a goy just about anything. Anything that has to do with improving the situation of the chole, even if it is not immediate improvement. Legabe a chole she'en bo sakana, so this we have to say that he is very ill, there's a threat to a limb, he has to lie down, or he's got pain all over his body. So he's very ill, but is not considered life-threatening, so he's a Chole She'en B'Sakana. So obviously, Daraisis cannot be done for such a person, but any of the Darabonans, anything that we usually say you can't do because it's Refuah, for him can be done. Therefore, if a Chole She'en B'Sakana requires treatment that a Jew can do in a Mutadika way, then obviously the Jew can do it because it's Mutah. And if the Jew cannot do it in a Mutadika way, then you can get a Goy to do it. And even if what the guy is doing is an Issa D'Oraisa, it's a Torah Issur, then nevertheless, once it's a Mirin La'akum, it's not a D'Oraisa for us anymore, and therefore for the sake of a Chol, you can get it to be done by a boy, as long as what he's doing is necessary for today. However, if you have an Issa D'Rabbanon, and an Issa D'Rabbanon we said is Mutter for a Yid to do, then the Yid can do this action for the patient. Even if there is a goy available, you don't have to go call a goy because we're dealing with a chole she'en bo sakana, but he is considered sick enough that the rabbonans don't apply to him, and therefore it's mutter for him to do these rabbonans in order to get him to get the recovery done. So what would come out would be a couple of examples. If you need the light turned on for whatever reason, or the light turned off for whatever reason, so that would be or a yid would be also to do, but you can for sure ask a goy to turn on a light for such a person, to turn off the light for such a person. If medication needs to be bought, which would include traveling by vehicle to the pharmacy in order to obtain the medication, you can ask a goy to do that. Or if you want to take the sick person to the doctor or to the hospital or something like that to get treatment, so you can get a goy to drive him. If a person has a serious toothache, not a regular toothache, because a regular toothache would be a regular case of choile. It's localized, but if it was a serious toothache that causes throbbing and it's painful and it spreads out of the beyond the jaw, then we'll say that he's now considered a choile sheva sakana. So if he needs to go to a dentist in order to have it treated, so you can get a goy to take into a goyish dentist, and the dentist can treat it, and then he can even take the offending tooth out and extract it or something like that, whatever the goy needs to do in order to, whatever the dentist needs to do in order to make him better, the goy can, if it's a goy, he can do it. If a patient who is not in a case of sakana sefashi, suppose a choleshever sakana, needs his vitals recorded, like he needs his temperature taken or his blood pressure taken, and it's a part of his treatment in order to keep track of how he is doing and how he's recovering and how the treatment is working. So all these things can be done and written down by a goy. Obviously not by a yid, but a goy can do this because these are all the four kodesh and beskana. As far as I know, that's one of the main reasons why Hatzalah and organizations like that have goyish ambulance drivers on Shabbos, because although for Chole Shesh V'Sakana, you can drive an ambulance, and Afoch, we said it's a mitzvah for a yid to be the one doing it, because we want him to be zoris and we want him to make sure that it's done and we shouldn't have any problems in the future. Nevertheless, because a lot or some, I don't know how many it is, but there are some cases where a person might be sent to a hospital for medical attention, but the situation is not life-threatening. It's just that if we don't deal with it properly, then who knows where it will lead to, and they decide to take it to hospital. So you have to be very aware that a yid can only drive a patient to hospital if the situation is a life-threatening situation. Sometimes people are very sick and they need medical attention, but it's not life-threatening. It can lead... Interesting, because there was a time where it was possible that Dafka should use goyim. I remember when one of my daughters was born on Shabbos, there was no, Hatzalah was out of commission for a while because they didn't have a goy available. So I think it was a change in psak. I think originally they were told they should have a goy, and then later they were told they should not have a goy. But so then they probably got a psak that, like we said, that it has to be done by a... Okay, we'll stop there for today. We've run out of time. Thank you, everybody, and we wish you a successful fast. And Emet Hashem, we'll continue next week.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you.